On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
All right, our timing is perfect. Judge Cahill has just entered the court. Everybody stood for him. He is now reading from the verdict. Let's listen to what the judge is saying.
Members of the jury, I understand you have a verdict. Members of the jury, I will now read the verdicts as they will appear in the permanent records of the 4th Judicial District. State of Minnesota, County of Hennepin, District Court, 4th Judicial District. State of Minnesota Plaintiff versus Derek Michael Chauvin, Defendant. Verdict, Count 1. Court File Number 27, CR2012646. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to Count 1, unintentional second degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April, 2021 at 1:44 p.m. Signed, juror foreperson, juror number 19. Same caption, verdict count 2. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count 2, third degree murder, perpetrating an eminently dangerous act, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April, 2021 at 1:45 p.m. Signed by jury foreperson, juror number 19. Same caption, verdict count 3. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count 3, second degree manslaughter, culpable negligence, creating an unreasonable risk, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April, 2021 at 1:45 p.m. Jury foreperson 019. Members of the jury, I'm now going to ask you individually if these are your true and correct verdicts. Please respond yes or no. Juror number 2, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 9, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 19, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 27, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 44, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 52, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 55, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 79, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 85, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 89, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 91, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 92, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Are these your verdicts, so say you one, so say you all?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Members of the jury, I find that the verdicts as read reflect the will of the jury and will be filed accordingly. I have to thank you on behalf of the people of the state of Minnesota for not only jury service, but heavy-duty jury service. What I'm going to ask you to do now is to follow the deputy back into your usual room, and I will join you in a few minutes to answer questions and to advise you further. So, all rise for the jury. Seated. With the guilty verdicts returned, we're going to have Blakely. You may file a written argument as to Blakely factors within 1 week. The court will issue findings on the Blakely factors, the factual findings, 1 week after that. We'll order a PSI immediately, returnable in 4 weeks. And we will also have a briefing on, after you get the PSI, 6 weeks from now, and then 8 weeks from now, we will have sentencing. We'll get you the exact dates in a scheduling order. Is there a motion on behalf of the state?
Your Honor, the state would move to have the court revoke the defendant's bail and remand him into custody pending sentencing.
Bail is revoked, bond is discharged, and the defendant is remanded to the custody of the Hennepin County Sheriff. Anything further?
Oh,
all right. Thank you.
So there you have it. The jury in Hennepin County
in Minneapolis, finding Derek Chauvin guilty on all three counts.
All right, so there you go. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Guilty of second-degree murder, guilty of third-degree murder, guilty of second-degree manslaughter. That didn't take him long. That was quick. And you heard the prosecutor there ask that he be remanded and his bond revoked, and that's exactly what the judge ordered. The Hennepin County Sheriff's came in, put him in handcuffs, and Derek Chauvin was led off the side door of the courtroom wearing handcuffs. The crowds in let's dip back in. Here's ABC in Minneapolis. Crowds are celebrating. Let's listen.
Embracing one another, and in many ways for that community and for the people who have gathered there, it has been an extraordinarily long year in this country. This was the scene again, George Floyd Square. This is the reaction from the families. George Floyd's family, with their legal team, Ben Crump, we know, leading that team, clearly overjoyed. They believe justice has been served in this case. Derek Chauvin found guilty on all counts. And I want to bring in our chief legal analyst, Dan Abrams, as we look at these images. Clearly, the pause there is in between each count as the judge was reading from that piece of paper delivered to him by the foreperson of the jury. And in Dan, guilty on all counts. They believe the prosecution made its case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yep, on each and every charge. And remember that there are slightly different theories with regard to second-degree murder and third-degree murder. I mean, there was a possibility that he could be found guilty of second-degree murder, not of third-degree murder, and then guilty of second-degree manslaughter. That didn't happen. This was a prosecution clean sweep here. And now Derek Chauvin will be sentenced on the highest charge, which is second-degree murder. Faces up to 40 years. The sentencing guidelines in Michigan suggest more likely 10 to 15 years. But I'll tell you, David, you mentioned that 9-year-old girl, and she could be relevant in the context of sentencing because prosecutors can ask for what's called an enhancement in the sentencing, meaning to go beyond what the guidelines would suggest because a child was present. And so that 9-year-old girl was not just an emotional witness, but she could become a very important witness with regard to the potential sentence that Derek Chauvin gets. You heard him, the judge then referring to the Blakely standard, and that means basically start preparing for the argument over sentencing. And that will be the next phase of this case to determine what the sentence for Derek Chauvin will be. But at this point, certainly a big win for the prosecution in this case, getting everything that they asked this jury for.
Just to drill down on that point, Dan, as per Minnesota state law, the jury will decide, the judge will decide sentencing on the highest of the charges, which of course is unintentional second-degree murder. The presumed sentence is usually 10 to 15 years, but he faces up to 40 years, and as you mentioned, the state will ask for what's called an aggravated sentence here, and he could face decades behind bars.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that is going to be, really the next big debate in this case over exactly what should be the sentence for Derek Chauvin. Again, you know, as we talked about when the jury reached its verdict and we said they came back so quickly, this is not good news for Derek Chauvin. Again, on the sentencing side, I wouldn't want to be Derek Chauvin either, meaning that, you know, typically, and it's not just typically, it's really the vast majority of cases where you're talking about second-degree murder or third-degree murder. You are talking about up to 15 years. But in this case, based on a number of factors, I expect the prosecution to ask for more time, and the judge will have to determine that. And David, I want to just add one other quick point, which is about the diversity of this jury. And I think it's important because we often talk about diversity and it sounds like a concept as opposed to something that can actually instill a sense of confidence in people about a verdict. The fact that there were four people who were African-American on that jury, there were two who described themselves as multiracial, six whites, and they all came together and very quickly agreed on this verdict. This was a jury of peers. And as a result, I think that that's helpful in instilling confidence in the verdict for the community at large.
And Sonny Hostin, as we look at these images coming in from across the country, but first, of course, from Minneapolis, relief in that community. And you yourself said, as a former prosecutor yourself, when you heard that there was a verdict and this quickly, that even you had thought there would be at least questions from perhaps the jurors for the judge, and there was not. Unanimous, guilty on all charges.
Yeah. You know, David, I've been a lawyer for 27 years, and I remember when I was in law school during my first year, the Rodney King verdict came out, and it was an acquittal for four officers who, on video, beat and stomped and tased a man, beat a man 56 times with a baton. And I believed my eyes then, so I believed my eyes this time with George Floyd. And even though I knew that fast verdicts always hint at an agreement, even though all of my training told me that they likely convicted on at least the highest count or at least the lowest count, because of the history in this country, because it is so rare that police officers are convicted, because black men and black boys are killed by police with impunity in this country, and that is just the truth, at a rate five times more than their white counterparts, because I am the mother of an 18-year-old boy who is now in South Africa, and I feel that he is safer in South Africa than he is in his own country. I am so relieved that this is what justice finally looks like for my community. And while I know that this does not...
All right, so that's the coverage from ABC. Sonny Hostin talking there about her observations. Your observations are welcome. The phone number here is 855-295-6600. Former officer Chauvin guilty on all charges.
Enjoy our discussion. You seem to be very fair. It's appreciated.
I just call him like I see him.
You're with Tom Sullivan.
Let's dip into CBS. They Ricky Kleiman, she is the legal beagle on CBS. She's also the wife of Bill Bratton, former NYPD and Boston and L.A. police commissioner. She's a pretty sharp, media-savvy lawyer. Let's listen to what she's talking about.
Well, as the judge said from the bench, he is going to send out a scheduling order because there are preliminary steps. And first, they have to deal with the issue of what they call a Blakely hearing, which is going to be done first on paper, which will be about aggravating and mitigating factors. Each side will present their side on paper. Then the probation department does a pre-sentence investigation. They will file a report. The lawyers on each side will be able to accept or object to items in that report. And finally, the sentencing will occur in approximately 8 weeks, according to the judge.
All right, Ricky Kleiman, thank you. Gail?
I spoke as one of the people.
Thank you very much, Nora. Let's bring in racial justice expert and former president of the NAACP Minneapolis chapter, Nakima Levy Armstrong. We're so glad that you're here today because you know this case very Well, what's your reaction to found guilty on all three charges?
I am so relieved, Gail, and I know that our community is relieved, as well as people around the nation and around the world. The black community has been on edge since this trial began.
Mm-hmm.
And now it feels like we can breathe.
Did you think this was possible?
I thought that it was possible because of the power of God. That's the only way that it's possible in such a broken system.
Well, you know, I have to say this. This has been quite a journey for you personally. I remember when Chief Arredondo testified at the trial that he got a call from a community member about, did you see what your police officer did to that man? Who was that community member?
I was.
That was you?
Yes.
So he heard about it for the first time from your phone call.
Yes, and I heard about it from a woman named Ashley Quinones, whose husband had been killed by the police.
Mm-hmm.
She Facebook, you know, she tagged me on Facebook to say that MPD had choked someone and choked the life out of them. And I looked online, I didn't see anything, so I called the chief. And he said, no, someone died in, you know, in custody as a result of a medical issue.
That's what the chief believed.
That's what the chief believed. That's what his officers had told him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, did you see video of the incident?
He said no.
He said, I passed it along to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. I said, you need to see some video immediately.
Because in the beginning, there were no charges against Derek Chauvin, right?
Right.
None.
There were no charges initially. And so what happened after that, the chief saw the bystander video that we all watched. That Darnella Frazier captured.
Yes.
And then he met with African-American city leaders at 7 a.m. the next morning at City Hall, along with the mayor, the FBI, and the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. We demanded that all four officers be fired. The chief took a few hours to think about it, and then he held a press conference saying he would fire those officers. I was one of the people who spoke at that press conference. I applauded the chief and said, now we need charges against all four officers, and the black community leaders affirmed that statement, and then we began to apply pressure.
So what does it say to you, Nakima, about the power of videotape and the power of speaking up?
I think without Darnella Frazier's video,
yes,
this wouldn't have happened. MPD would have been able to sweep the murder of George Floyd under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can manipulate body camera footage in terms of how it's analyzed, but we know what we saw on that bystander video that made a huge difference. And in terms of the power of the people, we have to understand that we can change the world, even if it is a small group. There was a small group of us constantly applying the pressure. We pressured the governor to use his executive authority to remove the case from the Hennepin County attorney, who traditionally protects killer cops, and he put it into the hands of the attorney general, Keith Ellison, who then was able to...
All right,
to
so there, that's
the
their discussion over at CBS. There are the other three officers. Don't forget them. Tao Thel, J. Alexander Kuing, and Thomas Lane are each charged with aiding and abetting second-degree murder, as well as aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter. Now that Derek Chauvin has been found guilty of all charges, this verdict will have a significant impact on them, and let's see if they don't try and work out some sort of plea deal so they don't have to have the impact of a jury verdict like this. So that's the other part of this. The other three officers still have to face their day. Prime time it is. So if you're just tuning in, surprise, surprise, the jury in the Derek Chauvin trial said we have a verdict. They came out. They read it. Derek Chauvin has been found guilty of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. Manslaughter faces up to 10 years. Third-degree murder faces up to 25 years. Second-degree murder faces up to 40 years. And the process, as you heard Ricky Kleiman talking, is the aggravating factors. And with the 9-year-old girl that was a witness to this, that was on the stand, one of the first witnesses they called, that will be used by the prosecutors to possibly ask for even more years of because of the aggravating factors. Here's Andy McCarthy, former federal prosecutor. He's weighing in on what's going on.
Convicted on everything. And that's what happened. Now, do I think the conviction's going to be reversed on appeal? No. I think, you know, likely the appellate court is going to say the evidence here was compelling, and even if X or Y thing shouldn't have happened, they don't think it would have made a difference. But let's remember, less than a day ago, we were talking about how awful it was that this publicity was out there and how terrible it would be if the jury were overwhelmed by it. And what he would have needed to show that the jury was overwhelmed by it has happened.
Indeed. Okay, so well, we want to go back to Mike Tobin now. He's there on the ground. And Mike, we're seeing this video of the crowd gathering, but give us a sense of what you're seeing there.
Well, what you're looking at actually is the beginning of a march gathering up behind a banner. They got a vehicle with the speakers. So they're still going to march around town, although you have most people happy with the outcome, very happy with the outcome. Again, it sounded like a sports team that just won. That being said, when I start telling you about reactions and you get a crowd this big, my answer is almost always going to be a mixed bag. I just talked with a group of people who's called the verdict a stepping stone. They were happy with it, but they explained you have so many other people who died, black people who died at the hands of police, and they think it's not enough. What they didn't see out of this verdict was any kind of policies that were changing. Of course, you know that you have the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act that just passed the House that hasn't made it through the Senate, but that's not the kind of thing that gets communicated at a time like this. Everyone is talking about the verdict. But you still have some people who are dissatisfied, I guess, with the state of affairs in the United States. They're still going to march. The march isn't necessarily a march of dissatisfaction. It's just a march because they got a lot of people, and there's the speakers going. The speakers are going. They're saying, who won? We won. So you have a very celebratory mood. You still have some people dissatisfied, Dana.
Indeed. All right, Mike Tobin, thank you. And we are still expecting the family of George Floyd to have a press conference any moment now. So, of course, we'll bring that to you. In the meantime, Ted Williams, who is on the phone for us. I believe you're on your way there to Minneapolis, Ted. And let's get your thoughts on what has transpired. We have Derek Chauvin found guilty on all counts.
Hi, guys. I got to tell you, it's jubilation. I've just touched down here in Minneapolis, and the tension.
All right, we're going to jump ahead. Keith Ellison, who's the Attorney General of the state of Minnesota, is holding a news conference. Do we have a connection to that? Can you bring him up?
Verdict justice, however, because justice implies true restoration, but it is accountability, which is the first step towards justice. And now the cause of justice is in your hands. And when I say your hands, I mean the hands of the people of the United States. George Floyd mattered. He was loved by his family and his friends. His death shocked the conscience of our community, our country, the whole world. He was loved by his family and friends. But that isn't why he mattered. He mattered because he was a human being. And there is no way we can turn away from that reality. The people who stopped and raised their voices on May 25th, 2020, were a bouquet of humanity. A phrase I stole from my friend, Jerry Blackwell. A bouquet of humanity. Old, young, men and women, black and white, a man from the neighborhood just walking to get a drink, a child going to buy a snack with her cousin, an off-duty firefighter on her way to a community garden, brave young women, teenagers, who press record on their cell phones. Why did they stop? They didn't know George Floyd. They didn't know he had a beautiful family. They didn't know he had been a great athlete. And they didn't know he was a proud father or that he had people in his life who loved him. They stopped and raised their voices and they even challenged authority because they saw his humanity. They stopped and they raised their voices because they knew that what they were seeing was wrong. They didn't need to be medical professionals or experts in the use of force. They knew it was wrong, and they were right. These community members, this bouquet of humanity, did it again in this trial. They performed simple yet profound acts of courage. They told the truth, and they told the whole world the truth about what they saw. They were vindicated by the chief of police, by Minneapolis's longest serving police officer, and by many other police officers who stepped up and testified as to what they saw and to what they knew. What happened on that street was wrong. We owe it, and we owe our gratitude to fulfilling their, we owe them our gratitude for fulfilling their civic duty and for their courage in telling the truth. To countless people in Minnesota and across the United States who joined them in peacefully demanding justice for George Floyd, we say, all of us, thank you. In the coming days, more may seek to express themselves again through petition and demonstration. I urge everyone to honor the legacy of George Floyd by doing so calmly, legally, and peacefully. I urge everyone to continue the journey to transformation and justice. It's in your hands now. I also want to address the Floyd family, if I may. Over the last year, the family of George Floyd had to relive again and again the worst day of their lives when they lost their brother, their father, their friend. I'm profoundly grateful to them for giving us the time we needed to prosecute this case. They have shown the world what grace and class and courage really look like. Although a verdict alone cannot end their pain, I hope it's another step on the long path toward healing for them. There's no replacing your beloved Perry, or Floyd, as his friends called him, but he is the one who sparked a worldwide movement, and that's important. We owe our thanks to the men and women of the jury who gave many hours of their time and attention to carefully listening to the evidence, weighing the facts, rendering a verdict. They are regular people from all walks of life, a lot like that bouquet of humanity on that corner on May 25th and in that courtroom. They answered the call, and they served in a landmark trial. They now deserve to return to their lives. If they ask you to respect their privacy, we ask you to honor that request. I want to acknowledge the remarkable team that helped us prosecute the case. We put everything we had into this prosecution. We presented the best case that we could, and the jury heard us, and we're grateful for that. We had the sole burden of proof in the case, and history shows that winning cases like these can be difficult. I'm proud of every hour, every minute, and every ounce of effort we put in this case. And let me tell you, we spent many hours working on this case, did we not?
All right, that's the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, Keith Ellison, addressing a group at the courthouse. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Stick around.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan on air, online, on demand.
Well, Keith Ellison he's reading. Somebody, I don't know if him or somebody else, wrote a big speech, and he's still talking. He's still going on and on and on. I find this it's a moment where you find out where people are on matters regarding race. And I would love to go down some of my tweets that I have received. Some of them are fine. Some of them I really look at and I go, do you realize that you hate black people, right? I mean, you know that, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't write the things that you are writing. I mean, there's a lot of racist response that is coming in. This is different. I didn't even give the name. One guy says, there is no way this verdict is justified. This jury was intimidated and bullied into guilty. Bullies are now running the justice system. Well, if they were bullied, they didn't sit back and cower. It was a wham bam, here's your verdict. They spent the last 2 weeks listening to the evidence. And they knew when they went into that jury room exactly where they stood, and they obviously stood on this guy's guilty. As far as an appeal on this because of Maxine Waters, I doubt that that will go anywhere. They might try that. Frank sends me an email, which, yeah, you're right. A lot of people, this is interesting how this trial with the video that was so powerful, how it literally went viral around the world. There were protests about George Floyd in Europe and in Africa and in Asia. They were everywhere. But Frank writes and says, hi, Tom. About 4 years ago, a Minneapolis police officer from Somalia murdered a young Australian woman because she startled him. He was convicted of third-degree murder and manslaughter, sent to prison for 12 years. What is it with the Minneapolis police? Will be interesting to see how the Floyd case compares with the Justine Damon murder. Yeah, this woman had called the police. She was the one who called them. And this officer comes rolling down an alley behind her house, and she goes out there, and he was startled and shot and killed this woman. White woman. Black cop. And so he was sent to prison for 12 years. He's probably 4 years into it now. So I don't know. Craig sends me an interesting email. He says, as the judge came back into the room, Charter Cable Spectrum system here in Nevada all went dark on all stations that were carrying the verdict. Really? You think it was on purpose? Was there somebody that did not want people in Nevada to know? I mean, you can't hide something like this. There are other news sources. Interesting. Hey, Craig, I appreciate that very much. Hey, if you find out what happened, let me know. I'd like to know what happened in Nevada that all of a sudden all the stations that were carrying the verdict went down. Anonymous, please don't use my name. Okay. Says, maybe nobody can truly understand another's perspective ever, regardless of race, nationality, or belief. But instead of protesting, rioting, what is the solution? Rioting, protesting, hurting others is not a solution. Do we need more officers of color, officers of similar race, heritage, background in areas that are predominantly a specific race or heritage? Should we encourage that? It's everyone's problem, not just a problem for one race, one heritage, one background. Let's offer up possible solutions instead of just pointing out the problem. Find the answer. It's pretty easy to find out, Anonymous, on the racial makeup of police departments. You can find yours. Google it. You'll find it. If you have trouble, let me know. But one of the areas that has changed dramatically since the Civil Rights Act was signed in the 60s is police departments are made a great effort, a lot of outreach to try to find officers that look like the community. So there are Asian officers. There are black officers. There are women officers. There are lots of police now. I don't know if that is the solution. It's fine. I mean, now we're probably a generation or two into having minority police officers. Yes, at one time, it was Officer O'Kelly, the white Irish cop. But now, no, there are officers of just about every stripe. But I heard many, many people referring to the fact that this trial wasn't about the police. It was about Derek Chauvin. And that I talked to a number of my friends that are current or former police officers who said this guy was wrong. Derek Chauvin was wrong. That's what they'd tell me. And I believe it too. I do not understand what he was thinking, why he sat there with his knee on his neck. But we'll never find out. He's going to be going off to prison for probably a good chunk of not all of the rest of his life. We have the one-man comment line band working today. Market went down 200. Where did it wind up at here? Down 256. The Dow at 33,821. The S&P down 28. The NASDAQ down 128. The price of gold went up $8 to $17.79. The price of oil fell $1 down to $62 for one barrel of oil. On the comment line, this caller speaks on the gun violence that they have seen.
You mentioned what the Constitution says about people owning guns. When the Constitution was written, we didn't have guns with multiple rounds. So I think we need to show a little common sense. These assault rifles are killing people.
You're missing the point. They didn't describe the gun. They described the concept of self-protection, tyranny, and etc. This caller is worried about Chicago.
South side of Chicago is the baddest part of town, and the Cubs are the baddest team in baseball.
Yeah, but they're not on the south side. That's the White Sox. The White Sox play in the south side of Chicago. Wrigley is on the north side. Just a little geography for you baseball fans. All right. Thanks for coming by today. We'll try this again tomorrow.